The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
The game of life. Now, this, of course, is just the game. But we are in the game of life. And the game of life can be very difficult at times. There's ups and there's downs, there's ins and outs. But what I do believe about the game of life is this, that what Jesus said in John 10:10, that he wanted you to have a life and have it more abundant, is a reality. It's a fact. He wants you to have more than enough for the game of life. And the only way to have more than enough for the game of life is to have that relationship with him in such a way that when you seek, he answers. Because you have faith in that he is going to do it. You see, this game of life, the thing about winning the game of life is that if we're not careful, we'll get the world's opinion of what it means to win the game of life. And the world's philosophy about winning the game of life. And the world's philosophy, I say this often, probably most people here are getting tired of hearing me, but the world's philosophy of the game of life is a big house, a big car, a bunch of toys, big bank account. If you got those things, you're a winner. Well, the reality is, I don't think God is opposed to you having those things. But there are some things that are much more important in life. Relationships. He said, Jesus made it perfectly clear to us. He said, look, if you want to fulfill the law, here's how you do it. Love God, love people. Love God, love people. Now, everybody, you know, we'll go along with that. That's good. That's a good philosophy. That is Bible. Preach it, Pastor Rob. But you know, sometimes when it comes to the people closest to us, we're not living it. No, we can love our neighbor as long as our neighbor's the guy across the street or down the road, and he stays in his house. But what about the person that you sleep with at night? What about the children that run around your house? What about your parents? You know, what about the people, the friends that you have at church, you know? Relationship is difficult. It's not an easy thing. Conflict is going to happen. In a marriage, conflict is going to happen. I'm married, I know. It happens. Conflict will always happen in relationships. You're not always going to agree. The question is, how are you going to handle that conflict? How do you deal with it? Do you deal with it God's way, or do you deal with it the world's way? Because the world says, me, 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 my. I always want my way. The Word of God says something totally different. The Word of God teaches us that we're to walk in love. And if we really understand love, that means that we put the other person first. That's not easy to do. When I want to do something that I enjoy and Tammy wants to do something else, she needs to put her needs behind her so that I can get what I want. Right? Is that the philosophy? Come on. Come on. Submission. Do you hear that? Submission. Oh, we'll get in big trouble for that stuff. It's very true. What we want is what we want, and we want our way. But God has a different plan for us. I can tell you for sure that if I make sacrifices for her, She'll make sacrifices for me, and our household will be a much more pleasant place to live. All right. I really didn't intend to talk about marriage today. That's next week. So I'm just giving you a commercial of what we're going to do next week. Today I want to talk about fathers and how important it is to be a winning father. I believe every one of us can be a winning father. And if you have young children, you need to start doing some things so that you can be a winning father. If your children are grown and they're adults, it's not too late to be a winning father. You may have to humble yourself a little bit. You may have to say, I'm sorry. I made some mistakes. But I want to tell you something. There's healing that will come in your relationships if you do that. There is power in saying, humbling yourself and saying, I am sorry, I made mistakes, but please forgive me, I'm going to do better. My God has promised me that I can do better. So here's what I want to share with you this morning. I want to share some philosophy, some things about being a winning father, and some points that I think is very important, because we need to shore up our community. We need to shore up our state. We need to shore up our nation in regards to families. Families are crumbling. And fathers, we have a huge responsibility in that. We've got to be strong. We've got to be leaders. We've got to be selfless. We've got to accomplish the will of our Heavenly Father. Father had five children. He won a prize in a raffle. And he said to his children, I'm going to let one of you give the prize. One of us is going to give the prize to your mother. And he said, all right, here's the criteria. Who's the most obedient? Who never talks back to mother, who does everything she says, that's the person that's going to give her the prize. And all five children said in unison, I guess you get to give her the prize, Dad. If you have a wife and a family, you need to have that kind of attitude. You need to recognize that there is some submission on the husband's part to the wife, just like there's submission from the wife to the husband. When Paul taught that in Corinthians about submission, he wasn't just talking about submitting, the woman submitting to the man. You read above it, he was talking about total submission. I'm to submit to Pastor Otis. Pastor Otis is to submit to me. The congregation is to submit to one another. When we get the right attitude about things, we begin to walk in the love that God has for us, and there will be healing in our relationships. There will be healing in our land. Yes, yes. Amen? Okay. Yeah, I had to recover from that joke. I flopped. It wasn't that bad. Ivy, you're just too kind. That's what. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I think maybe that's part of our problem. It's the way we're thinking in our heart. It's what we're thinking, the way we think about ourselves and the way we think about our role as fathers and as leaders. And I'm talking to fathers, grandfathers, it doesn't matter who you are in here today. If you have any kind of influence in a child's life, I'm talking to you. Because children are so important to our society. I want to tell you something, Nickelodeon knows how important they are. Nickelodeon, you know, one of the things they bragged about, and they have bragged in the past, they own our children. That's what they said. Wow. Is that true? I think it very well could be. They own a lot of children in this nation. Our children grow up with the principles and the philosophies that they're learning from Nickelodeon rather than mom and dad. Listen, if we're using the television set as a babysitter, we're in trouble. Because they're going to learn things they should not be learning. You have a huge responsibility as parents to make sure that you monitor what they're watching, what they're listening to, what's happening in their life. I've heard people say, well, I can't protect them forever. No, but you can protect them right now. And you should. Keep them. Protect them. Hover over them. Do not allow the enemy to have their minds. Because he is trying his very best to tear down everything that Jesus Christ wants to build up. The kingdom of God is against the kingdom of the enemy right now in this world. We are battling. If you don't want to fight, take off your armor, get out of the fight, just go do whatever you want to do. But as long as you call yourself a believer in Jesus Christ, you have responsibility. You are a warrior, and you're supposed to be fighting. You men are supposed to be fighting for your families. You fight on your knees. You fight with the decisions you make. You fight with the power of God, the Word of God, knowing and understanding your calling and your purpose. Hallelujah. I don't know if I'm ever going to get to my points this morning. Hallelujah. How many know that men are just naturally competitive? All you guys, I don't care who you are, you're just naturally competitive. We compete. Whatever we do, if we're playing cornhole, we compete. And I try my best to beat Pastor Otis. If I'm playing against him. You know, if I'm playing against Ivy, I'm going to try my best to beat her. No, why? You know, is that wrong? No. We compete in just about everything we do. Now, let me tell you something. If you have to win at everything you do, you've got an unhealthy attitude toward winning. If you get upset because you lose, you stomp off and pout, you've got a problem with winning, a problem with your attitude. However, I believe that part of our self-esteem as men is to know that we've tried our very best. You know, most everybody in here knows that Randy and I play basketball together pretty regularly. And when we play basketball, our intention is to win. You know, that makes the game a lot more enjoyable. But I got to tell you this. The games that I enjoy the most, win or lose, are those games when the competitive spirit is such and the talent is such that it's a one-point game right down to the end, back and forth. That's fun. I like that. I like it a lot more when Randy loses, but I like it. And I'm a winner. People, we know what it's like to recognize the good, healthy competition. And we want good, healthy competition. So what I want to focus on is being a winning father. Coach John Wooden said this in a book he calls The Pyramid of Success. Success is the peace of mind which is a direct result of self-satisfaction in knowing you did your best to become the best that you are capable of becoming. He said exactly what I was just talking to you about. It's about doing your very best. That's success. That's winning. When you put forth as much effort as you possibly can with everything that you have, all the knowledge, all the skill, all the ability, that's a winner. That's what I'm talking to you this morning about, fathers. Because I believe that somewhere along the line, we've lost that competitive edge in raising our children, training them up and bringing them up where they should be. Listen, I've You know, we've already raised our children. We're working on our grandchildren, helping our daughters and with that. But I can tell you this, if there's one thing that I could go back and change or do more of, I don't feel like I'm a failure yet in my raising my children. I think we did some good things. But if there's one thing that I could do more of, that is we would do more fishing, more activities together, more. You can't do enough of that. More. Children see your love, and they equate it with the time that you spend with them. I would do more of that. So some of you have the opportunity now, right now, to do more of that. Do it. Take that opportunity. Use it. There's important things in life. Things you have to get done. Last week, our grandchildren stayed with us, stayed with me, and they spent the night. The next day, on Saturday, I had all kinds of things that I needed to do. Mow the yard, you know, work on, I needed to finish the projects that I started a couple weeks ago. There's a lot of things that are unfinished. So, I knew that I had to make a decision. And I'd made the decision to spend the time with them. We went fishing. We caught a bunch of fish together. We cleaned them and ate those fish. We just had a good time. We had a learning experience. It was fun. I still had a lot to do. But what I was doing was building memories. Something that they'll remember for the rest of their life. And whether the yard was mowed or not, no one will ever even think about it. Next week, even. Getting our priorities in order. Here's a formula I want to share with you this morning. I'm going to do this as quickly as possible. Knowledge plus experience plus talent and gifts plus maximum effort equals success as a father. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. See, fathers, we have very, very important responsibilities. Fathers and grandfathers, teach and train your children. Take opportunities. You know, one of the things that we did when we go fishing, when I go fishing with my grandsons, we don't just fish, we talk about some very important things. Talk about God's creation and how God created and why the fish live in the water and all those things, you know, the earthworms and the things that we are using. We talk about God. We relate God to every part of it so that in the future, it's not just Bible stories that they hear in Sunday school or in children's church, which is a very good thing. But in the future, they're going to be able to relate real life experiences to the creation of God. One of the things that Marshall wanted to do yesterday, we went fishing for a little while, and he caught a fish and he said, I want to hold it. I said, okay, you can hold it. He said, my daddy taught me how to hold it. I thought that was awesome. You know, there's a lot of fathers that don't take the time to be there to do that. It's time. We've got to do it. Knowledge. Knowledge, of course, comes from the Word of God. The heart of man that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. This scripture tells us that if we have a heart of understanding, we will seek after knowledge. The best place you can get knowledge, fathers, to know how to train your children in the way they should go is from the Word of God. Read it. Understand it. Meditate on it. It's very serious. Meditate on it. But there are other books. There are Christian sources out there that you can pick up, you can read, and you can learn some things on parenting. Do that. Now, a lot of men have told me, well, Pastor, I don't read. That's nonsense. You're lying to me. Because if you have an interest like golf, hunting, baseball, basketball, whatever it is, you read about that kind of stuff. So don't try to lie to me. If you have an interest in something, you will read about it. This is vitally important. Pick up the Word of God. Read other books and things that can contribute to the proper way of training and rearing your children. There's good things out there. Many, many authors. I'm not even going to touch on any of them this morning, but you can find some good things. We have things over at the church in the office, books on training and raising your children. We need to be wise enough to learn. Experience. Use real life experience. I've already touched on that. Use everyday experience. Deuteronomy tells us that you're supposed to train your children and teach your children when you walk by the way, when you're in your house, when you go out, whatever you're doing, teach and train your children. You can't do that unless you're spending time with them. So real life experience as you walk through what I was talking about, teaching Marshall and Owen about the fish and how God created them and the difference in our environment and all those things. Those are real life experiences that we can teach and train our children from. Second thing, that is the second one, was experience. Number three is use your talent and gifts. My dad, he passed away. 1990, yeah. And he was an awesome man. I love my dad very much. He probably didn't spend as much time with us as I would have liked. He was working a lot, but I had a great deal of respect for him. He loved us. He loved our family. When I was a young boy, my dad was my hero. I would run down to when he got home from work, I'd run down to where he parked the car at the bottom of the hill. We lived up on a big hill, and I would get on his feet, and he would walk all the way to the top of the hill with me on his feet. He was a good man. He had his issues. Anger was a situation, was something for him that he had to overcome. He came from a very violent family where, you know, just the child got out of line, you just smacked him in the head. My dad never did that to me. He never treated us that way. He wanted better for his family. So when I was a little boy, he was my hero. When I got older, he became my friend. As an adolescent, he became my adversary. Just happens sometimes. As a young man, my friendship returned to him. And today, even though he's not here, he's once again my hero. I want to pattern my life after him. I want to love my wife the way my dad loved my mom. He showed, that was one of the things that he showed us as children how to love a woman, to embrace her, to keep her, to make her number one in a man's life. The wife is supposed to be number one, not number two below the children. Wife, the husband is supposed to be number one, not number two below your children. We got to have things in order. My dad showed us that. He lived it day after day after day. And you know what? Because of that, I have respect for my mom. And I had respect for my mom growing up. Now, one of the things I knew that if I said anything out of line, I'd probably wake up and next week if I ever woke up again. He never threatened me with that, ever. He never said he was going to do that. I was just wise enough to know that he loved her so much that that's what would happen. You see, sometimes we don't have to say things to our children. We have to do before them. We have to set an example. And I believe that is so very important in using our talents and our gifts before Almighty God. One of the things that my dad did he was a millwright, he was a mechanic, and he was always helping other people. If people needed something, he would be there to help them. He would give of himself. Now, I want to tell you something. People took advantage of him. He knew that. He did it anyway. It didn't matter. That's the kind of example we need to set for our children. Here's a little something I just picked up that goes along with that. People are unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Love them anyway. If you do good, people will accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Do good anyway. If you are successful, you will win false friends and true enemies. Succeed anyway. The good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Honest and frankness make you vulnerable. But be honest and frank anyway. The biggest people with the biggest ideas can be shot down by the smallest people with smallest minds. Think big anyway. People favor underdogs, but follow only top dogs. Fight for an underdog anyway. What you spend years building may be destroyed overnight. Build anyway. People that really need help may attack you. Help people anyway. Give the world the best you've got and you'll get kicked in the teeth. Give your best anyway. No matter how much you love people, some will hate you. Love people anyway. That's truth. That's gospel truth. That comes, you know, that can be seen right from the Word of God. That's how we train up our children. And the last thing I want to share with you this morning is maximum effort. And whatsoever you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. My formula for success means nothing unless you allow Jesus Christ to be everything in your life. You must seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness if you want all these other good things in your life. You must have the kind of relationship with Jesus Christ that you get a heart change. God wants to change us from the inside out. None of this stuff will make. It's just a self-help program unless you get a heart change. That's right. And there's a lot of self-help programs out there. Go find one where you don't have to sit here on Sunday morning. Come on. Serve God. Seek His kingdom with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. That's the kind of effort that will make you a winning father. Stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I'm excited to be able to share this message with you. Our goal here at Bethel Worship Center is to use this tool to equip believers to walk in the abundant life Jesus promised. If you'd like to know more about our ministry or have a prayer request, please visit our website at www.bethel.org. Have a blessed day.